Today is the appearance day of Lalita Sakhi. One of her names is Anuradha. And Srimati Radharani is the supreme Brajagopi. We're told there are, when it comes to Krishna's feminine counterpart, in order of gradation, you have the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha, because Bhagawan begins proper Lakshmi Narayan, Shakti and Shaktiman. When we say Vasudev, as in the famous verse, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyadavan Mam Prapadyate, Vasudev Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. And after many, many lifetimes, someone who comes to proper understanding that Vasudev, Krishna's everything. But that means becoming focused on Krishna conception. So Guru Maharaj says more specifically, there we're told Vasudev, Krishna, but what about his counterpart? So that's considered the outskirts of Krishna realization with more scrutiny, looking more closely, more precisely. Then we see, oh, he is not alone, but Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagawan, all-accommodating Brahma, which has a tendency to be interpreted as being impersonal, although ultimately not, being the divine effulgence of Krishna. But then Paramatma, Paramatma has no consort. Right? You don't see Paramatma with a feminine counterpart. So Paramatma, who's in the Andantarastam Paramanu Chayantarastam, in the heart of every living being, in the heart of the atoms, no feminine counterpart. Where does it begin? Lakshmi Narayan of Vaikuntha. So from Lakshmi Narayan to Sita Ram of Ayodhya, Rukmini Dwarakanath, the queens of Dwaraka, and Mathura, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Radhakunda. So in sequence, and we have the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha, the Mahishigan, the queens of Dwaraka, and then the gopis of Vrindavan, right? Among whom Srimati Radharani is supreme. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibha Vitabhis Tabirja Eva Nija Rupataya Kalabi. As Krishna expands himself, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, to even Balaram, the quadruple, second quadruple, Purusha avatars, Leela avatars, even Shaktivesha avatars, there's a system. So Radharani is also expanding. Really, all service to Krishna is being transacted through her. Srila Saraswati Thakur says in one place that the Madhura Rasa Bhaktas are part of the Anga Jyoti of Radharani. So there are also extensions from her. So how great she is, we will discuss more tomorrow on Radhastami. But the reason I say this as a preface is the somewhat inconceivable position of Lalita Sakhi being Anuradha. That means next to her. She's everything. Right? She is the supreme assistant of Srimati Radharani. In the we talk of, discuss this as the Rupa Nuga line, the line of Rupa Goswami, the line of Rupa Manjari. But in the Goro Chandradwait Natak of Kavi Karnapur, he uses this expression, Swarupa Nugo, or Swarupa Nuga. And he's praising Raghunath Das Goswami, who Srila Guru Maharaj says is the best student in the Rupa Nuga line. He becomes the Prayojan Tattva Acharya. Why is he the best? Because he's clearly indicating that our ultimate focus and plane of aspiration and achievement is in Radha Dasyam, or the service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. But that Raghunath Das, who is he? He's Swarupa Raghu. He's Swarup's Raghunath. Right? And he's a Swarupa Nuga. He's a follower of Swarup Damodar. Right? So why is Swarup Damodar's position in this sense, supreme in Gaura Leela? Because of his position in Krishna Leela. Right? And what is that position? As Lalita Sakhi, the right arm personal attendant of Srimati Radharani. And to understand her position, who better than Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, to properly assess and identify her incomparable qualities and characteristics. Right? It requires someone supremely qualified to make these assessments. Otherwise, we have a tendency to paint with a broad brush, and that's also good, to bow and understand. These are great personalities. How dare we try and make some comparative analysis? That's true. We do not do that, and we should be very cautious about that type of thinking. But our acharyas, Srila Guru Maharaj, and particularly indicating Srila Rupa Goswami, they're qualified to do that. So bowing our heads with folded palms and a bowed head, we can share their observations and delight in their observations. And in that way, come to know in a real and substantial way something about such a divine personality. Because you think, after Radharani, who's next is Lalita Sakhi. And in one sense, you say, she's Rupa's boss. Right? Because we say, Rupa's the leader of the juniors. And you know, our ultimate service aspiration to be their assistants. But who is Rupa's boss? Is Lalita Sakhi. And so Rupa knows very well what are her qualities and characteristics, and to identify them, single them out for our benefit and edification. So Srila Rupa Goswami has written the Lalita Astakam. He has Radhastakam, but Lalita Astakam here. And the very first verse he's revealing particular qualities, characteristics, and saying what? Radha Mukunda Parasambhava Garma Bindu Nirmanchano Prakarani Kritadeho Laksham Utunga Sohrida Vishesha Vishat Pragalbam Devim Gunai Sulalitam Lalitam Namami. It's very beautiful. He's used the word Lalita twice. Once as a name indicating, but Lalita also means beautiful, elegant. It's a particular, so Sulalita, and he's saying Sulalita Lalita Namami. Devi, this divine goddess, resplendent goddess like Devim Gunai. goddess qualities, guneshu, devim gunai, sulalitam lalitam namami. And what does he say? Right away, first line, Radha Mukunda Parasambhava Garabindu. And takes us into a domain that we can only bow towards, but on this day is appropriate to say something. As Guru Maharaj said, these are very high things, not for us to casually discuss, but you know, cautiously, and as we've heard, and at an appropriate time to glimpse that plane. Radha Mukunda Parasambhava Garmabindu, saying, there may be a drop of sweat on their holy lotus feet and their divine loving relationship. Lalita Sakhi considers that intolerable. Think of the kind of focus there is. Divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna saying, one drop of sweat, that cannot be, has to be removed, cannot tolerate that. It might create some sort of a disturbance. This type of laser-like focus and self-abnegation, not thinking like the, about voyeuristically envisioning oneself in that plane. Not like in that plane, but laser-like focus on something that occupies the least possible position. Bindu means a drop. So it's so appropriate. So it means in principle that the greatest magnitude of eagerness for the least aspect of seva, of service, that will not create even a slight disturbance in that plane. Right. This is the principle to come away with. And how is the magnitude measured? Because if we're talking about magnitude, then there should be degrees. There should be some system, some metric. Nirmansanopakurani krita deho laksham. That means, it's a term, it means literally 100,000 bodies, but can mean millions. It's a reference point. And what is it telling us? That as we hear and what is revered in this world, if someone will sacrifice their life for a cause, it's called the ultimate sacrifice. In other words, they're willing to lay their life down for some cause. And we see everywhere in the world, such persons or soldiers, they're revered, they're honored, memorialized. Everywhere in the world has some type of day where they honor, compatriots who they, for the greater good, for everyone else, they were willing to give their life and they sacrificed that. So there's a memorial somewhere, and to this day, everyone will gather on a particular day and express some gratitude for that. And I don't mean to make light of that. It's a very serious thing. After all, they gave their lives for some cause. That's the point. Not to get into like some sort of nationalism, but like that people in principle sacrifice their life for a particular cause and for the greater good so that everyone else might benefit from that. So how noble that is. It is. But in the case of Lalita Sakhi, what we're told is, she is taking this in another direction. So we're attributing so much value to the sacrifice of one life for this cause. But what Rupa Goswami is telling us in this sloka, she's willing to take on hundreds, thousands, millions of bodies and sacrifice them for that cause. So if we could conceive using this martial example, so we have a soldier, one soldier willing to give their life for the cause. We go, that's very good. But if we say, well, can you imagine a soldier who can become 1 million soldiers to sacrifice for the cause? Say, well, what kind of soul? That's inconceivable. You mean there's this one soldier who can turn into 1 million soldiers? That's what he's telling us. That's how intense she is. That's the degree of the magnitude of her earnestness to serve and not allow in even the slightest remote hint of a disturbance to enter into that plane. Those are the qualifications that are necessary to be there. In the first two lines of an astakam, Rupa Goswami is telling this about Lalita Sagi. That's amazing. We want to hear about nectar and lotus flowers, right? That we want to hear something like that, right? Or she must be very pretty. That's a given. If she's next, Radharani is the most inconceivably beautiful woman, female. So if she's next to her, we would faint to think of how beautiful she must be in whatever terms you conceive of feminine beauty. But Rupa Goswami is not talking, that's not where his starting point is in describing her to you, because that sort of feminine beauty that she possesses, that can't even be expressed in language so much. Right. But it's assumed. But why does Rupa Goswami, is so perfect, choose to begin here? He wants to like bring you in to understand something about this divine personality. And then what does he say in the next line? You know, krita deha laksham utunga sohrida vishesha vasat pragalbam. Then he uses the word pragalbam, saying, this word, Guru Maharaj once rendered it as haughty, which is not a word very much in modern usage. But it would be a woman who's borderline arrogant. Haughty means she's not shy in the conventional sense. She speaks up. So these are things that would not generally be associated with like feminine shyness and, you know, not like concealing their, not expressing too much and being very agreeable and submissive and like all these wonderful, and which are truly wonderful qualities. Right? But he's saying she's not like that. On the surface, not like that. And what is he alluding to? Saying, Srimati Radharani, as inconceivable as it may be, but remember, she's the better half of the sweet absolute. But they're a couple, they're the divine couple, but even the divine couple is a couple. So there are times when there are misunderstandings. You know, about their relationship, or crossing certain boundaries, the perception of disrespect, real or imagined, many, many things. Remember, Krishna Rajateka Kela Sarvatam Narali Leela Narabhaputara Swarup. Gopavesh Venukar Navakishore Natubar Nara Leela Hoy Anurup. The Nara Leela, human-like pastimes, they're perfect. Why? Because actually, human civilization They provide the template for human civilization. Human civilization is a reflection of that, not the inverse. So all these things we find here, they're a perverted reflection of there. But like here, there may be some disagreement over something, over nothing. There may be a disagreement over something, and there may also be a disagreement over nothing. That's also possible. If that's possible here, it's also possible there, but there in a very beautiful way. And since we want to hear about some nectar or something, Guru Maharaj would say, there's nectar biting. There's biting, but it's nectar. Nectar biting. No sting. So, but still, in this loving exchange, sometimes, although she possesses Bhamabhav, which is the man of left-wing gopis to not always agree to everything or so easily, or to show some opposition, still, sometimes Radharani is shy or reticent to assert her own position. Krishna is very clever, maybe not always easy to deal with. and in consideration of who he is, you might want to defer to him often. So Radharani is not always her own best advocate, but Lalita Sakhi is. So in other words, Lalita Sakhi sometimes will intervene and tell Krishna, you can't speak to her like that. You can't deal with her like that. She is Radharani's advocate. And at the risk, look who she's talking to. Like you say, do you know who you're talking to? Yes, I know who you are. And you are not treating her properly. And your behavior is unacceptable. She deals like that with Krishna. That's pragalbam. And they told that generally this wouldn't be conventional submissive female or surrendered devotee. Right? Rupa Goswami saying, we see this as very soft, or you might think it's harsh or rough type womanly behavior. Rupa Goswami saying, no. Devim guneshu. When she's like this, we see it as very sweet and beautiful and endearing. We're not seeing it, any roughness there, because it's not. It's a very beautiful thing to see and to observe, very inspiring to all of us. And we see it as soft and feminine, and not as harsh and unfeminine-like behavior. Why? It reminds us of Jiva Goswami's defense of Rupa and Sanatan. Right? That it's not on her part, but she has so much love and affection and allegiance to Radharani, that she's compelled to be her advocate in this way. Right? It's not that when we say this, that those who favor Srimati Radharani, Guru Maharaj will say, because of everything, like that they just dismiss Krishna, not like that. But he's saying, and again, these are high things, but we're talking about the highest person. So in this brief moment, some high things are appropriate, and we hope we don't speak inappropriately. But As Guru Maharaj said, Vishakha, Lalita Vishakha. We always hear them together because they're the two principal sakis of Radharani. But we're told Vishakha, in other words, they love Radha and Krishna equally, but Vishakha leaning a little toward Krishna in his favor in different situations. But Lalita, loving them equally, but really leaning towards Radha, Radharani. So, Rupanuga, Swarupanuga, as Swarup Damodar. She is Swarup Damodar in Gaur Lila. Oh, and one other, still speaking of in Lalita capacity. So Rupa, that's his first verse. That's where he starts. And so I'm saying, why would I start there? But he starts there, and we heard from Srila Guru Maharaj. Right. But I find it interesting that that's how he starts describing her. It must be, especially the first verse is always very significant. Right. And that he used that as a starting point, I could only think of how significant it is. It must be extra special. But then further describing her, a few slokas later, saying, Yung Kamapi Brajakule Brishubhanu Jaya, talks about Lalita Sakhi moving in the plain of Vrindavan. And as Guru Maharaj described, because she is very famous, right? In Vrindavan, everyone knows who Lalita is. Right? So, and remember, what is Vrindavan? Reserved for the highest section of liberated souls. Yat kinchit, quoting Das Goswami, yat kinchit diguma kikata, kam goste samastamita sarva ananda mukunda dayata lilanuku lamparam. Even the insects there are liberated souls. Das Goswami reminding us, like, how much reverence we should have for the animation in Vrindavan, the bees, the insects, the birds. They're all extraordinary quality, liberated souls. Then what to speak of the people who are there? If it goes from, you know, the soil and the insects to the trees, the birds, the river Jamuna, the peacocks, the cows, then what to speak of the divine personalities in human form, like form, who are moving in that plane? How exalted they are. Right? So in one sense, you know, I mean, who is there to preach to? If we think of preaching exclusively in terms of conversion, that you're converting someone from one position to another position. Here, it's more clear, as Guru would say, because first of all, there is no non-Krishna when you really get down to it. There's nothing that isn't Krishna or from Krishna. But in this world, we're just saying, all right, here's the non-Krishna section, here's the Krishna-loving people, and we're trying to convert the non-Krishna to come over, you know, to the Krishna section. That makes sense. That's what we do, you know. Madhya, that's what he told. Mahabharatas, they're not making any distinction. Everything's perfect. There is no non-Krishna. What are you talking about? So we're told they have to come down to the second class position where you see, oh, that's not good. Don't think like that or go in, that is not good. Come in this way. Modify your position to go in this direction of Krishna conception. That's all understandable. But in this context, I want to say, in Vrindavan, like, I mean, preaching cannot be conventional conversion because no one is in conventional illusion there. Right? But they are under the influence of Maya. You only have two choices when it comes to Maya, Mahamaya or Yoga Maya. But Maya is inescapable. Right. So there, Everyone's under the influence of yoga maya. Good maya, like really good quality maya. The good stuff. Jnana shunya bhaktas. If you're not under the influence of yoga maya, you can't go very deep into Krishna conception. So jnana shunya bhaktas, they're unaware of Krishna's divinity. It's in a suppressed position. So that they can chastise him or think of him as their own. Parakiya bhav, the cowherd voice. Some say Gopal is not one of us. What do you mean? They say he's like some kind of a god or god of God. He's God himself. Gopal, our Gopal. Yes, our Gopal. They're saying that. People are insane. Gopal, who talks so much nonsense, who does so many mischievous, naughty things. He would be, God, that's crazy. All right, I just, as people were saying, some people, fake news. Don't mean to upset. Don't tell that to Maya Yashoda. She'll be very upset. People say, Krishna's not her son. What are you, nuts? Of course he is my son. No, they say he's Vasudev and Dev. Shut up. That won't be spoken in this house. Right? Oh, okay. I thought we're supposed to preach about people. What? Oh. People, you know, Krishna being divine. Now you're telling us, like, not to say that. All right, I'm getting confused. Right? Then you're not ready for Vrindavan. Then throw you down to Vaikuntha. Come back when you're ready. So, a different way of seeing things there, right? So in that plane, and then, hey, not conventional conversion. Yet, Rupa Goswami says, want to understand more about Lalita Sakhi in this sloka? What did he say? In that plane of Vrindavan, populated by the highest section of liberated souls, right? People are coming up with, you know, like passing notes, like, you know, like I want to join your group. You know, like, or she's saying, can I talk to you? Come over here for a second. I need to tell you about something that's kind of special. So he's saying, people are canvassing her to join her group, and she's also in some instances selecting. And we say, well, any evidence of that ever happening? Shamananda. In one sense, we can say, legitimately, Sakyarasa, cowherd boy, the new poor from the bangle of Radharani. Think about it. A Chinmoy bangle from the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Not just his head, but his heart was left with an indelible, unforgettable impression and imbued with the sentiments of Madhura Rasa. So that inevitably, Subal and Lalita Sakhi worked it out. She said, I want to take that one for our group. And meaning, not just like, he'll be a cowherd boy who's running messages or such things, but like, a gopi, that's inconceivable. That's more, saying more is impossible. That's more than we can say. But again, Rupa Goswami is hinting, more than hinting at this in his verse, saying, she's being petitioned. If you follow that line of thought, by whom? What do you mean? That means in Vrindavan, those in other rasas are coming to submit a petition to her to get entrance into her group. That's inconceivable. But nonetheless, in 8 slokas, Rupa Goswami, how much is there? Who knows? I don't know. There are those who know. I am not one of them. But if this much is in two slokas, we understand something. And that Lalita Sakhi, when you say, it's not random or optional which positions they will occupy in Gaura Leela. So then necessarily, Lalita, so if Jadi Gorna Hoita Tabiki Hoita Kamone Dari Tam Dehe Radhar Mahima Prema Rasasima Jagata Janatake, if Mahaprabhu did come down for this very purpose to sing the glories of Radharani and reveal the limits of her unlimited Krishna Prem, Maha Bhav Swarupini Radha Thakurani, then necessarily Lalita Sakhi must occupy the principal position in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Must be. Why? Mahaprabhu reveals that, really, and as again indicated in the beautiful sloka praising Das Goswami of Kavi Karnapur and Gaurachandrodoy Natak. Swarup Anugo, Swarup Ragu. When Das Goswami came to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu put him under the care of Swarup Damodar. And in parallel, like when a devotee comes and they're told, like, oh, you're going to work under so-and-so, Prabhu. And they're like, Jai, Hari Bol. You know, they go and do that, you know. Then later they might go, like, I'm wondering, can I talk to Gurudev himself or something? And they go, like, oh. So, and then someone comes and says, Gurudev, so-and-so Prabhu, was one, can they speak to you personally? You know, yes. And they come and they go, oh, I'm very happy serving under the direction of so-and-so Prabhu, but I was wondering, can I ask you some, you know, like that, actually. So Das Goswami, after some time, saying, can I speak to Mahaprabhu personally? You know, they go, yeah. And he said, I'm happy working under Swarup Damodar, but could you give me some personal advice? And those famous, and you know, what is it, you know, Baluna Kaibe, Baluna Kaibe, you know, don't eat luxurious food, don't dress nicely, don't engage in idle talk, and worship Radha and Krishna within your heart of hearts. But Guru Maharaj says it actually means in your swarup, it's raga bhakti, it's not some lower level sadhana practice. Like with your mundane mind, think about the, and that's not what it is saying. So that's another subject. But anyway, so he gives this advice to him. And then he's saying, but you know, for your information, the reason I put you under the care of Swarup Damodar is because what I don't know, he knows fully. So don't take it as a slight, but actually, because I need you to render a particular type of service, that's only fully known to Swarup Damodar, not even to myself. That's why. And Das Goswami continues. Then we think, well, wait a minute. How is this some kind of humble talk, or how is that possible? How can Mahaprabhu say, what I don't know, he knows fully? Because Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, Mahaprabhu, Krishna's become enveloped in the heart of Srimati Radharani. And the radiance of that devotion is the kanti, or the halo. So this, the terrain of her heart, it is terra incognito, means a land previously unknown to him. Remember, Krishna, in observing her, aparam kasyapi prani janamandasa kutuki, it awakened the curiosity in him, like, what is it like to be her? So as Krishna, Adi Purusha, Govinda, the supreme enjoyer, the supreme male, he can only conjecture about that. He can't experience that. Right? Because it's not a position that can be experienced from the male perspective. Right? He's conjecturing, what would it like to not just be female, feminine, or a female devotee, or even a gopi, but Radha Bhava. What is Radha Bhav? What is it like to experience that? It cannot be experienced as from Purusha Bhav, male mood. Right? Like in this world, they have that phrase, the male gaze. Right? That is seen in art, in film, and other places. The way men see women cannot be like that. From her position, he wants to know, what is it like when she sees me, Krishna, Govinda, the Adi Purusha, male enjoyer? I can only theoretically, as a male, the supreme male, the original, I can only conjecture, fantasize what it could be like, but I can't feel it. I can't have those feelings. I would have to become her to have those feelings. And this is it's very mysterious, but very beautiful at the same time. And it should be very inspiring and encouraging to us. Because sometimes we think we're haunted by the ghost of male gaze, exploiter, and that we're being sold, false bill of goods. What is that? Like we think, like, oh, Krishna's the enjoyer and we get to be the devotees. You know, like, while he's enjoying everything, we'll be supplying that, the necessary ingredients for his enjoyment, and I guess we'll have some fun along the way. It won't be that bad. It's a bitter pill to swallow, right? That I am not the supreme enjoyer. And what's that? Like, I'm not any kind of enjoyer. What? Like, I'll have to completely reverse my thinking about this if I'm going to experience any enjoyment at all. Oh, gosh, you know. That somehow being a devotee is like, well, I mean, you can't be the supreme enjoyer. At least you get to be the devotees, right? And supply all the ingredients for his enjoyment, including yourselves. And maybe you're going to have to experience a lot of suffering along the way and self-abnegation and stuff, but, you know. But it's not like that. And what we discover through the pastimes of Mahaprabhu is actually I'm using the word carefully here and precisely, that the enjoyment, the type of joy experienced from the position of a devotee is greater than even Krishna. That's what Mahaprabhu has come to tell everyone. Krishna has come to tell everyone, as Mahaprabhu, that the position of a devotee is superior to what I experience, being the supreme enjoyer. He's the only person who can say that with any authority. Because others could say that. It would be some kind of a ploy. But if Krishna says that, we have to take it on his authority that it's true, it's valid. So he's come to the world. That he wants to tell everyone about her, about Radharani. And what is Radharani's consciousness? It's called Krishna consciousness. Krishna is not Krishna conscious in this context. I mean, I'm sorry to deliver this news. You know, above the fold, Krishna, not Krishna conscious, film at 10. You know, read more. You should read more. Because what I mean to say by that is, he's Krishna. Krishna consciousness being conscious of him. So the supreme reservoir of Krishna consciousness must in fact be her. Right? And how wonderful is Krishna consciousness that Krishna wants to experience it. Like as Krishna, I don't get to experience Krishna consciousness. Because I am Krishna. You offer me bhog and I turn it into prasadam. But I don't get to eat prasadam. Krishna, not eating prasadam. Film at 10. Read more. You need to read more. When he's Mahaprabhu, he can take Gopinath's kheer and relish it the way a devotee does. The way we hear in the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that Dhanishta brings Krishna's remnants to Radharani and Lalita, and they're like relishing that. It's the in the Antilila. Why do you take these ordinary ingredients, spices, vegetables, and they turn into something extraordinary? Why it says, because it's touched the lips of Krishna, and the nectar that is on the lips of Krishna touches, that's the extraordinary taste of prasadam. So when Krishna wants to experience Radha Bhav, Radharani is a little shocked. I was like, you can't handle this. You won't be able to handle it. It's too much for you. You don't know what it's like. Really, you don't know what you're getting into. And then she starts thinking that she knows what it does to her, that you'll be rolling on the floor, crashing on it, rubbing your face, your beautiful lotus face, into a brick wall because you can't stand the intensity of the emotions in your heart. I can't tolerate the idea of that. But she's saying, but if I cover you with my form, then I'll take the hit and you'll be protected from it. Really, you don't know what you're signing up for. But so when Ramananda says to Mahaprabhu, at first when we were, I saw a sannyasi, but I don't see a sannyasi anymore. Now I see Krishna. You know, like with the flute and Gopa dressed, everything. And Mahaprabhu was saying, oh, we've heard about devotees like you. Everywhere they look, they see Krishna. And Ramananda said, no, don't tease me like that. He said, no, oh, because I don't, it's not that I just see Krishna, but I see something very perplexing. Yes, I see Krishna, Shyamasundar Krishna, flute, Gopavesh, everything, but I see that this golden girl has enveloped Krishna. What's that? And Mahaprabhu said, Rasaraj Mahabhav Duyek Rup. Said, I can't conceal myself from your loving eye. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanina. Right? Krishna can't hide from this level of devotee, conceal himself. Saying, yes, what you're seeing is Rasaraj Krishna and Mahabhav Radharani combined as one. Look. See how they're mingling. and Ramananda feigns. Right. So Radharani is telling Krishna, you don't know what it is like to be me and how to navigate the terrain of my heart. Right. Only I know that, and one other. Because sometimes even I'm so lost in that plane, the only person who bears witness to what I experience there is Lalita Sakhi. She's at my side when I'm lost in self-oblivion, in you, and in Krishna Prem, in the depths of Radha Bhav, in the heights of Krishna Prem. She somehow maintains her composure and can assist me. And she knows when I have a certain feeling to sing this song or sing this sloka and amplify that feeling, or in the depths of separation to assuage the anguish in my heart to sing another type of song, supply another sloka. How perfect she is to maintain her composure at the side of Radharani and just continue serving like that. Self-oblivion on her own part, just ever the servitor, to see what is needed. And when Radharani comes out of these deep states, she may not recall. Lalita Sakhi knows. So when Mahaprabhu comes out of his deep trance and turns to Ramananda and Swarup and saying, what happened? Did I say something unusual? Swarup Damodar, everything is good. And when Mahaprabhu is plunged in the depths of Radha Bhav, Swarup and Ramananda supplying the songs, the slokas that either amplify those sentiments or bring relief to the heart in separation. And we might say, if you're following this talk, but then there's one other person who would be qualified to do that, and that would be Gadadhar Pandit, of course. And Guru Maharaj has described that in his sloka, but Gadadhar Pandit staying in the background but Gadadhar Pandit and Swarup Damodar. And then what Mahaprabhu told all along, Raghunath, why you have to be a Swarup? All of this, what we're discussing here, can only be known because of Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. But what is found there, Kaviraj Goswami himself tells us, he's saying, what I'm giving here in the Rupa Nuga line, because so often quoting Rupa Goswami to establish the foundation, he's saying, but everything I'm giving here, where does it come from? When I got the pleasure and the opportunity to serve Raghunath Das Goswami in Radhakunda. Raghunath Das Goswami had left Puri and was saying, I will, because Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar left. And he thought, I will go there and have the darshan of Radhakunda and Giriraj Govardhan, and then climb Govardhan and throw myself and finish this life. Because it's no longer of value to me. Ashavari Amrita Sindhu Mohi Katanchat. But he finds Rupa and Sanatan. He says, oh, I see Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar in them. But at that time, Kaviraj Goswami serves Raghunath Das Goswami in his old age. And the full wealth of what? What is Kaviraj Goswami? The whole Chaitanya Charitamritam comes. Two sources. Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Das. The sutra-like notes of Swarup Damodar And the more extensive fluffed cotton, like fluff cotton notes of Raghunath Das Goswami. And that's the basis of what I'm presenting to you. So in this sense also, Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam comes from Swarup Damodar via Das Goswami, Swarup's Raghu, his personal assistant. So how perfect it all is. And Srila Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami, he rendered this Lalita Sakhi-like, Swarup Damodar-like seva to Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Jai Sri Lalita Saptami Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paribrajaka Charja Satira Sata Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagawan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharvika Giridhari Jiu Ki Jai. Swarupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Swarupanuga Ki Jai. Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Swarupir Raghu Ki Jai, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami Ki Jai, Sri Rup Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Sri Deva Gopala Bhatta Das Raghunath Sad Goswami Prabhu Ki Jai, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gopala Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gop Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadeep Dham Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai, Sri Ucha Gaon Ki Jai, Sri Lalita Kunda Ki Jai, Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai, Ganga Devi, Jamuna Devi, Bhakti Devi, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Om Vishnu Pad Vishva Varena Sri Lesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mata Charja Brinda Ki Jai, Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimavadut Maharaj Ki Jai, Jai Sriman Paramananda Prabhu Ki Jai, Seva Brinda Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai, Nitai Go Premanande. Tomorrow's Radhastami, meet again at that time. Hare Krishna.